Everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Professional basketball today in 2020 and where it was in 1984 when David Stern took control. Growth, expansive growth, but everything on the screen here doesn't do it justice. The stories behind it do.
Michael Jordan, Shaquille
O'Neal, and we have a national panel today who will tell those stories on Stern's legacy.
I can't hear you.
Oh, yes, I love that. Let's go around the horn.
So many memories.
One of his best moments. He meant it, too.
He absolutely meant it. He worked that crowd. He worked that crowd.
He did love a good fight.
The tributes today pouring in on a life and a legacy and a lamp-rattling momentous bluster, as David Aldridge put it. Points for everybody for that reference from Aldridge. I mean, it's been prodigious. You all have had a relationship with David Stern, of course, for your years covering the league. Jackie McMahon, you started covering the league nearly the same time you became commissioner and all the growth and domination that came with it. Kevin Blackstone, your conversations with him, maybe even specifically on labor you could touch upon and all the domination and those lockouts that came with it. Israel Gutierrez, George Sedano, you crossed paths at different points in your career and maybe all the domination a commissioner would show a young reporter. Maybe you can add to those stories. I want it all. I want his vision and I want the run-ins you guys have with him as well. Jackie McMahon, first to you.
Well, conversing with David was always an exercise in mental gymnastics, I can tell you that. Mm-hmm. One minute, it would be a biting wit. The next minute, it would be this uncommon compassion you didn't see coming. I just felt with David, every time I talked to him, he was challenging me to be better at something. And he was testing me in every way that he could think of. One of the stories I'll share with you, in 95 during the lockout, I was not a young journalist, but I was very new to television, Tony. And they had me do a live stand-up at a courtroom in New York City. And Stern had walked past me earlier with absolutely nothing to say to me because he wasn't giving interviews. I get ready to do my live stand-up, and I see this shadowy figure go behind the camera. And as I'm trying to do this live stand-up, the commissioner of the NBA has his thumbs in his ears making faces at me to try to get me laugh during my live stand-up.
Oh, that wasn't where I was expecting that story to go. Okay, so he had a joyful side, a playful side, clearly.
He was trying to see if he could mess me up. That's what it was all about. He was trying to make me laugh during my live stand-up.
There was also bluster. There was also an indomitable will to carry the league. If you could harken back, Jackie, to one specific action or moment or movement, what is his number one legacy?
Well, people will say globalization, the WNBA, the empowerment of the star, all of those things. But the one that always hit home with me was what he did with Magic and HIV, Tony. He turned it into an everyday conversation for the American public. He supported Magic when owners were saying no, when players were saying no. And he was telling them, you know what? We're going to let Magic Johnson back into our league. And if you don't like it, I will have mandatory testing for HIV for every player in this league. And he would say to his owners, are you sure your players aren't HIV positive? Because I'm not. And that, to me, was one of his it's one of the ones that doesn't get a lot of notice. Mm-hmm. But what he did to support Irvin Magic Johnson and HIV and that community was something.
The impact of that law far beyond sport there. Kevin Blackstone,
yes, exactly.
When you think of David Stern, what do you think of? Well, I have to think of the globalization issue, and not just for the NBA. We know what he did for the NBA, but think about it. Every other U.S. professional league followed in David Stern's footsteps. He started off with the internationalization of basketball in the early 90s. And I remember being at a Mavericks-Rockets game in Mexico City. And then slowly thereafter, you know, you had the deal cut with the Olympic Committee, where you had NBA players starting to play in the Olympics. And then you slowly started to see other leagues, Major League Baseball. You saw them move overseas, starting taking games over there. Even the NHL, which was an international sport, had never really played regular season games outside of North America. They even tried that. And, of course, you had what the NFL did. And then the last thing about David Stern is he actually has a commissioner's tree. Nobody else can say that. Gary Bettman came from under his wing to work with the NHL. So he's really been a person who's left an indelible mark on all of our sports.
Israel Gutierrez?
I think if you're looking for one thing, Tony, you just need to look at the league just from beginning to end where he left it. Imagine any other sport coming into our consciousness now as a sport that was essentially tape delayed and everything else. And then a few years from now being probably the second biggest sport in this country. That in itself was his legacy. And you look at, so I grew up and that's all I knew was David Stern as the NBA. I don't know any other commissioners from any other league, what era that they're in. I know the David Stern NBA because I grew up watching it. Influenced me to the point of pursuing this career. He was the parent. He was the principal. He was the teacher you were always afraid of. But in the end, you always look back and said he was telling me the right thing to do. And you just look at the growth of this league and everything that he's done that was controversial at the beginning, whether it be the dress code or something else, It's now become beneficial for the league.
And George Sedano?
Tony, he was unafraid to Israel and everyone's point here. He made tough decisions that people didn't necessarily love at that particular time. But as Izzy pointed out, now looking back, it was the right decision to make. He loved the verbal sparring session, as we've all kind of highlighted here. And I think he kind of enjoyed
that. Did you ever get hit by that? Did you ever get the bluster in your face, George?
I did. Yeah. I did. So the year after the Lakers-Kings series that everyone knows was controversial, I had him sitting in front of me as I was doing a radio interview, and we went back and forth about officiating, and I said to him, why does it feel like that the young teams don't get the right end of the stick here, basically? And he said to me, George, what you're saying is illegal in 50 states. Further, I say if not. And then, after we were all done jousting, he patted me on the back and shook my hand and said, George, that was really good. Smiled and walked away. So that was him. He was a pioneer, as Izzy mentioned. You know, it was tape delayed the finals before he started. And ultimately, today is a good day on his legacy. Giannis and Luka are the leading vote getters in the All-Star game right now. And globalization was a big priority for him.
Great point, George. Other big moments during his tenure, Jackie, Kevin, that could go either way as far as perception in the time and maybe since. But I'm thinking of a few, and you can add some more, Jackie. The lockouts, the dress code, vetoing the Chris Paul trade, maybe Donaghy and officiating. The mouse, the palace? Yeah. How do you consider them now?
Well, there was a lot to navigate for all of those. You know, the Donaghy thing, it always amazed me how successfully Stern and the NBA literally stuffed that body under the rug. And people kept trying to pull that body out from under, and he was just a force of nature in that. He buried that story better than any commissioner I could ever imagine in my lifetime. The mouse in the palace, I think, was a difficult one, Tony, for everybody involved. He told me he was eating a peanut butter sandwich in his pajamas and his slippers when he saw that happen. He absolutely crushed the Pacers. The Pacers to this day will tell you he ruined their franchise to some degree. I didn't like his spats with the Spurs. Remember, it was Pop that started load management before we had a name for it. And I didn't love that part about him.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone?
Well, you know, Adam Silver got celebrated as soon as he took over the league for getting rid of Donald Sterling. But one of the things that's lost in all that is the fact that David Stern, who would suspend and fine players for the smallest transgression against the league, never, ever went after Donald Sterling. Kept him around this league through all of the discrimination lawsuits that he faced, sexual harassment lawsuits that he faced, never got rid of him. So there was also that side of him, and I think it had
had to do with the business of the league, and that's all he was that was what he was mostly interested in, and he thought that at that time he would ignore Donald Sterling.
And you said yourself before we sat down, you saw that firsthand in your conversations during labor discussions and during the lockouts over and over again, uncompromising sure. almost in the business. You could, one last second there, Kevin, please.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, he went through four lockouts, not strikes, lockouts. And I think that's one of the things that always kind of disturbed him because it left a bad taste, I think, in some players' mouths. And, you know, and it brought up some really ugly conversations about the league.
Thanks for your thoughts, guys, especially Israel. I know you had said it. Maybe you didn't say it right here. One of the hardest interviews you've ever had in your life. And you've interviewed Greg Popovich live on TV in front of a Christmas Day audience, but just sitting down for him with a one-on-one was one of the more difficult. An amazing character, of course. We're going to get to some of that a little bit later in the show. For now, we'll move on. I want to talk about the NFL coaching carousel. Mike McCarthy interviewing with the Cleveland Browns today. Ron Rivera introduced by Washington today. And in Dallas, another day of meetings for Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett. What are they doing in there? George, how do you read this Dallas situation?
That this is a very difficult situation, and it's a personal situation for Jerry Jones. You're talking about a guy in Jason Garrett who, yeah, he's been the head coach for 9.5 years and was a coordinator for 3.5, but he's been part of the organization for 26, dating back to when he was the backup to Troy Aikman with Jimmy Johnson and company. And let's not forget, his dad was also a scout for this particular team. So there's a lot of things that Jerry's dealing with emotionally to try to make this work. There have been some reports, though, that if he gets ousted as the coach, he may have a role within the front office, something that CBS Sports and even Ed Werder has talked about on Twitter here for ESPN. So this is just a really difficult spot mm-hmm. because he's got to fire his friend.
Okay, I hear that. But also in the same moment, I turned to Kevin Blackstone. You were in Dallas about the time Jerry took over the team. What was one of the first things he did to Tom Landry, who was there forever, and a Hall of Fame coach? He got rid of him. So go ahead, Kevin. You can address the Dallas situation.
Yeah, but it is true. This is a family situation. Realize there are four Joneses that work for the Cowboys. There are three Garretts that work for the Cowboys. He's got his brothers are there, too. And the other situation is, we talked about Lincoln Riley coming into this offseason, right? Well, how did Lincoln Riley look in his last coaching experience on national television? Not too good. So all of a sudden, maybe things are a little bit up in the air, maybe not as clear as they seem to be in Dallas, but I would say that I just think they're trying to find a soft landing spot for Garrett within the organization.
Israel Gutierrez?
Well, if that were the case, and I believe that to be the case, do you think he would still do that if there was a threat that the guy he wanted was going to get snatched up by another organization? No. What I think is going to happen is that he does have his guy, and it probably is Lincoln Riley, and it's the only place he's going to go. Therefore, he has the time and the patience to deal with Jason Garrett as he desires. That's the only situation where I could see him putting a friend slash family member ahead of this billion-dollar organization.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Mack?
Listen, Jason Garrett, we've been predicting his demise for how many years now? It seems real this time. Just get it over with. We don't care where you put him in the front office. Everybody's just waiting for you to tell us what we already know, that he's not going to be your coach next year. Mm-hmm. Come on already.
Well, tell us something we don't know, Kevin Blackstone, about your Washington Football Club, because they introduced the head coach today, Ron Rivera. They've introduced the defensive coordinator, Jack Del Rio, but they don't have a GM right now. Talk to me about how sensible it is to make those hires without a general manager.
Not very, but that's business as usual in Ashburn, Virginia, right? That still you have the owner who has been criticized for all the right reasons running the show. And so he's brought in two very capable hands in Rivera and Del Rio to run
and things. Now Rivera's going to help find a general manager? Is that how it works? The coach helps find the person who's going to be...
We don't know. Oh, he could run into somebody on the street who could...
Well, here's what we do know. Today, during the introductory press conference, Daniel Snyder said to everybody, as you do customarily on January 2nd, Happy Thanksgiving! Okay, there we go. Yes. We're breaking here. We're going to go out with David Stern on draft night, because for me, this is when he was at his best. 2013 was his master opus, his Sistine Chapel. Look at this.
Can't hear you.
Yes,
we've
work
had
the
to
crowd.
Explain to our international audience that the boo is an American sign of respect.
Work
to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
This is going to be a While We Were Away by Orsell. But by Orsell won while Nick Saban was away doing his post-bowl press conference saying he doesn't know anything about Tua. Tua tweeting he'll announce on Monday what he'll do with his future. So maybe some misinformation here or just not on the same page. What do you buy? What do you sell, George Sedano?
I'm selling that he's coming back, Tony. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. I think that this quarterback draft is weaker than what next year's would be with Fields and Trevor Lawrence also into it. Plus, I understand even if he drops, he'll lose some money, but he's a year closer to free agency if he's healthy. Not only that, but he's got a better training staff to work with, a better medical staff to work with in the NFL. As much as Alabama is basically Alabama's pro football team there, or treated and covered like one, they don't have the same luxuries that an NFL team has or the money that they have to be able to help him move along.
You're sure he's gone. How about you, Israel Gutierrez?
Yeah, I'm selling the fact that there's any mystery here at all. I think the only reason he hasn't announced is because Alabama did have this game to play, and he's going to wait until Monday. Doesn't it feel like a Monday today, by the way? He's going to wait until actual Monday to announce his decision. Everything that George laid out, it makes all the sense in the world. I still have yet to hear one compelling argument for him to stay.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, what I'll just buy is the fact that Nick Saban is just saying what he should say as the head of the football program at Alabama. His interest is in having Tua come back. I don't think that he will, but that's why he's not saying anything else. He's just got his fingers crossed that maybe on Monday it'll be something that works out in his favor.
And Jackie McMullen?
But KB, isn't it just as simple as possible that he's not saying he's not coming back or coming back because the player himself hasn't announced that? What coach should be telling us ahead of time what a player's decision is? That's insane. I would never do that. So to me, there's no mystery here at all. It makes sense for Tua to go. I think he's maybe giving Alabama a solid year by making it seem like it's a harder decision than it is. Maybe building up the program a bit and showing it respect.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. While we were away, Joe Burrow just threw another 7 touchdown passes and ran for another. While we were away, we got LSU Clemson. But it could have been LSU Ohio State. The ejection, the overturned touchdown. What do you buy? What do you sell from the national semifinals, Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, I'm selling the whininess. I think we only have sympathy for teams who didn't have a 16 or a 13-0 lead and who didn't have a couple of possibilities where they could have scored touchdowns instead of field goals. I don't feel bad for them because of that at the end. They might have had, we'll let George talk about this, they might have had a similar situation like this a few years ago on the flip side.
Kevin Blackstone?
Look, I think that Ohio State has right to be upset. I think they had a lot of calls go against them that could have changed the game. But at the end of the day, they were up 16-0 in this game and did not handle the situation. And Dobbins, who had a fantastic game, a courageous game, coming back and playing through injury, had a touchdown that he just dropped. Just dropped it. That could have changed the game. So we got the right championship.
Yeah, that's the problem with this hindsight when you go through this. I mean, what about the running into the punter? That was an egregious call as well. There were plenty of them in this game. But I will say this. This call, they got wrong. And when you get a call wrong, I don't blame Ohio State for walking around today saying, you know what? We got robbed. I think if we were all wearing those Buckeye uniforms, we'd probably be saying the same thing.
George Sedano, Israel was alluding to you. I have no idea where you're going to go with this, but please, go ahead.
I mean, listen, Ohio State fans, spare me that a controversial call cost you a potential national championship. If that's the case, the 2002 Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, here we go.
Would love to have that opportunity again.
This is a grudge a decade and a half in the making.
Yes.
And Israel, you were behind this as well. Forget you guys. Let's get Miami off the show. Forget it. No. You're going the wrong way.
Miami hatred. This bias.
Oh, my goodness.
Look what happened there. Kevin Blackstone, Jackie McMullen. I had no idea. Showdown. Are you guys even prepared for this? Take about 3 minutes to think it over.
I was half. My car's warming up. McMullen. Are you kidding me? I have my
Blackstone. Showdown next.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Kevin Blackstone, Jackie McMullen, welcome to Showdown. Actual positive, forward-moving news from Zion Williamson today. His first NBA practice in the regular season. He bore weight. He ran. KB, something or nothing?
Oh, this is huge. You just said it right there. This is a weight-bearing workout. This is incredible. The rest of the NBA has got to be shaking in their Jordans right now, thinking he might be coming back.
I didn't know weight-bearing was such a big deal. The reason it's a big deal is because he was the number one pick, and he was getting compared to LeBron James. I want to see him this year, Tony. I know you're nervous and you want to hold out and only have him play 20, 30 games. Let's get that kid out there.
When do you think the Pelicans could put him out here, Jackie?
Well, I think it could be mid-January.
That's soon. Mid-January. Whoa. Okay. Jackie Mack getting the point.
Well,
Showdown 2. Mike McCarthy interviewing with the Browns today after they fired Freddie Kitchens. Giants' job just opened up. They fired Pat Shurmur. Panthers' job is open. Jackie, what's the best of the opening?
You know, I'm going to go with the Panthers. And I know that Cam Newton's a big question mark, but if you become the head coach, you can decide. You can have some say in that size. I like their personnel the best.
I got to go all the way up 95, go to New York City. You have a young quarterback who looks like he's worth more than what a lot of people thought he was. You've got a superstar at running back. You've got a stable front office. Tish and Mara, I'm going to New York.
You go up to New York, then you get off of New York, you go back to New Jersey a little bit, you stop off at it. Yes, we get it. We'll go with the Giants. We'll give the points to Stone. We'll move on. Showdown 3. Look at my numbers. I'm balling. Who said it?
James Winston!
You look at my numbers, I'm...
All right, KB.
You know, I got to stop giving the ball
to
the
other team. Yes, thank you, James. James Winston's agent and PR team right now, Kevin. How do you greet him after he walks off the podium there?
You know what? You got to use that. You got to sell that to somebody out there selling a sports drink or something. I love that. He was very honest. Very honest. Just got to stop giving it to the other team. Love it.
But he said, I'm balling. Oh, but I'm throwing the ball to the other team. So what game are you playing? I don't know, man. I've never seen anything like that. 30 touchdowns,
5,000 yards.
30 TDs. I'm telling you, man.
Jackie Mack.
KB.
30 seconds of face time.
So, around about week eight, I think it was, I told you the Patriots in trouble. You all scoffed at me because at the time I think they only had one loss. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you for real now, this time. Look at me, Tony.
Yes, I'm looking at you. I'm with
me.
You.
This is not the same Patriots team. Just like I told you a month and a half ago, this team is not going to go anywhere, especially without a first round bye. The line, the running backs. And yes, Tom Brady, who hasn't quite been the same. I'm telling you.
So you want points retroactive. You want
Jackie.
Points retroactive. What did you say last year before the Super Bowl?
I just want you to understand what I'm telling you, Tony.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.